Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, listeners. So before we start talking about the Salem Witch Trials, I just want to stop and ask you guys to subscribe, rate, review our podcast. It's really helpful. It continues to help us grow. And if you like these episodes and you want more, just, you know, log on, give us a 5-star and say something nice. Here's a review I got recently. Brain candy for the soul. And this is from Carrot Bean, our listener Carrot Bean out there. They give us 5 stars. I love to listen to this podcast at the end of the day. Fun and informative. It's tragic history transformed into a soothing game of Clue with friends. I want to play. Well, thanks for playing along, Carrot Bean, and thanks so much for listening. And also, write in and tell us your thoughts, because pretty soon we're going to be doing a talkback episode and really taking in all of our listeners' comments and opinions and discussing further. So let us know what you think. Email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, welcome to The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we discuss history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're doing the Salem Witch Trials. Now, this is a historical tragedy that I have obsessed about since I was a young student. It was probably one of the first parts of history that really got me hooked. Now, maybe because I was the same age as the girls, or for whatever reason, I was intrigued. It caught my attention. And as I went on to theater school, it was also one of the historical tragedies that kept popping up, Arthur Miller, The Crucible. And every chance I could, I'd perform a scene from it in acting class, or I'd go see a production of it. There's been a bit of time since I re-educated myself with this historical tragedy, and this past week has just been eye-opening. You know, context is everything, is what I've come to realize. And it turns out that the way that I once saw the tragedy is totally different than how I see it today. Maybe it's my age, maybe it's the world we're living in right now. But, you know, we like to think that history is just a bunch of facts that we keep repeating and we keep relearning over time. But it really is important that we remember that history is actually written by humans, very imperfect and biased humans. And it's important that we keep revisiting to keep understanding that what actually happened and keep asking ourselves, what is the story behind the story? So let's get started. The Salem Witch Trials were a series of witchcraft cases in the colonial settlement of Salem, Massachusetts in the 17th century. The trials began in February of 1692. Betty Paris and Abigail Williams, the daughter and niece of the town minister, Reverend Samuel Paris, along with a group of afflicted girls, accused the first three victims, Tituba, Sarah Good, and Sarah Osborne. More than 200 people were mentioned or accused of practicing witchcraft, and 19 were found guilty and executed. The trials ended in May of 1693, when the remaining victims were released from jail. It was the deadliest witch hunt in the history of colonial North America. Fun facts, aka death stats. Salem Village consisted of some 90 families and a total of around 600 people. Of those accused, 14 were women and 5 were actually men. While popular myths point to burning witches at the stake, no one was executed this way during the Salem Witch Trials. Though some were burned at the stake in Europe, hanging was the popular mode of execution in North America. All of the 19 convicted were executed by hanging. One other man, Giles Corey, was crushed to death for refusing to plead. The villagers put him on his back and placed a wooden board on him and then gradually placed heavy stones on top, crushing him to death. This form of execution is called pressing. Corey's last words were reportedly, "More weight." At least 5 people died in jail after confessing. Sadly, animals were not excused from the trials. Dogs were suspected of potentially being linked with the devil or being the devil themselves. In one case, a girl accused a neighbor's dog of bewitching her. The villagers executed the dog with a firearm, but their priest, Cotton Mather, claimed the animal wasn't the devil because the devil wouldn't have died. So today we have one of my greatest friends, Mary Grill, on the show.
You're one of my greatest friends. It's so nice to be here.
And we also have our fact checker, Chris Smith, in the house.
Hi, everybody. Chris Smith here, reporting for duty to be fact checking, and I'll be here and for little comments too.
Great, Chris. Also joining us is producer Amanda.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
That's her voice. So, Mary, when I decided that we were going to do the witch trials, I thought of you because I was like, I bet you Mary has played Abigail Williams in The Crucible about 14 times.
Oh, that is so funny. I not only have never played Abigail, I've never seen The Crucible.
What?
True, but I've read it. I feel like everybody read it, right?
Yeah, I think we had to in school.
Why did you see me as the Crucible or as Abigail? Isn't she's like the very sexy teenager, evil sexy teenager
in the Winona Ryder version? Oh, okay. Yes, but usually she's just played by
in the play. Isn't she like? She has the affair.
She's the one having the affair.
And it's a teen. I mean, so I know she's sexy.
Well, yeah, sure. She can be sexy. She's Puritan sexy.
That's right.
But no, I just thought you would have really knocked it out of the park.
Thank you. There's still time.
There's still time. She's 14.
I boast the body of a teenager, and I'm open to memorizing lines.
So great. So what do you now you have a history with the Salem witch trials.
My connection to the witch trials
tell me more.
My brother-in-law Bill got his PhD in American literature. He did his dissertation on how the novel was started and like its origin. And he argued that it started earlier than what history tells us, and it was surrounding. I didn't read his dissertation.
Oh my god!
He gave it to me, and I was like,
"I hope
he's not
listening."
I know. I love you, Bill. It was dense. I was like, "Oh my gosh!" There are so many words in the English language. Regardless, part of his dissertation covered the witch trials. Again, didn't read the whole thing, but I read like the witch trials section, and I was, you know, when you get like the updated story.
Sure.
Of something where, you know, you grow up thinking like the witch trials were like in colonial America and people were really fervent religious followers and they got sort of ahead of themselves and things went crazy and people died for being witches. And what he let me know, we just were talking about his work at the time and he was like, oh, you know, it was there's all these studies now that talk about the witch trials as having happened because settlers were basically suffering from like PTSD,
mm-hmm.
which makes a ton of sense. And he was like, if you think about it, it makes like a ton of sense where like people were losing family members and in some really sad cases, like their whole families to Native Americans attacking settlers who were like in this new, totally uninhabited land. And they saw horrific things.
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. And, you know, in this podcast, we don't like to get the experts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't invite the experts.
I'm not an expert. Good thing.
We invite expert adjacents.
That's right. I would say I'm an expert adjacent.
So let's start with just kind of understanding who these afflicted girls are. Mm-hmm. Were. The first of the girls to start experiencing the symptoms was Betty Paris. And this happens around January 20th, 1692.
And her dad is like a prominent guy.
He's the Reverend Samuel Paris.
Oh, so the guys in the play were actually real people.
Yes. And there
so
is a Betty Paris.
Abigail.
Yeah, but...
But she was super young, actually, right?
She was 11.
Actually like 7? Oh, okay. Yeah. She's 11. Basically
she's 11
seven.
Or 12.
She's like
when it's all
six.
Going down.
Mm-hmm.
So Betty, she's 9.
Okay.
She's a little girl. And Samuel Paris is the minister of Salem Village of the church.
Okay.
And Betty has the symptoms first, and then Abigail starts to have them. And Abigail is 11 or 12, like we said, and she's the orphaned niece of the Reverend, of Samuel Paris. And she moved in with the family after Native Americans killed her parents during a raid. And in the house,
I think
she
killed,
starts
like more than her. I think killed
her entire
siblings.
Family.
I think it was like
something
horrible.
Yeah. So she's an orphan. She's living with the Parises. She starts having the same symptoms as Betty, right?
Mm-hmm.
They complain of bites, pinches, by what
super
they call
stuff.
Demonic creatures.
That is horrible. I mean, not only are you cold and like probably really hungry, then you're getting bites and demon pinches.
This is like so rude. So they also said they barked.
Take me back to England. I don't know if they.
I don't think there was a return boat for them. So they also get bark. They started barking and yelping. That was another one. And they would launch into these speeches.
Terrifying to observe as a parent too. If like my daughter started barking.
Yeah. What
no,
would
you
do?
I mean. I'd be like, I love you so much. You have to. I would figure it out. I guess I do really love her, so I'd want her to stay living in my home. But oh man,
yeah. As a dog mom,
yeah,
my children do bark and yelp.
Oh,
and I'm always
sweet.
Like, I'm like, Bronco.
You don't go. You don't go. No, it's time for something more serious, like a hanging.
No. I wouldn't have dogs. Wouldn't have dogs. So they another thing they would do is launch into speeches that no one could understand. And they all of a sudden, they didn't have any time for prayer. That was a big one.
Okay.
So they would, they couldn't do their chores. They couldn't pray, but they slept because they like were babies. Just,
oh, they were sleeping and barking? Those were sort of the things?
They slept like babies. It was okay. When they woke up that they started they were, barking.
Oh, God.
This is all information I got from a very good book by Stacy Schiff. It's called The Witches.
Ooh.
And I highly recommend.
Okay.
So despite the fact that she is one of the accusers, not much is actually known of Abigail Williams before or even after the trials ended.
Mm.
So she's kind of a mysterious figure in history. Mm-hmm. So, and this is all backstory, everyone. So the, you know, there were a lot of history books say that they had been dabbling in fortune telling.
Okay, yeah.
And even if you watch The Crucible, like the movie, and I think the play starts the same way, where they're all dancing with Tituba.
Right.
That never actually happened.
Right.
I'm debunking it right here.
That's right. What's her name? Mary Beth Norton. Our friend Mary Beth Norton. She talks about this, right?
Mary Beth Norton is a scholar on the witch trials that Mary Grill here. Not right. Mary
also
Beth.
Mary Beth. I'm actually Mary Elizabeth.
Oh my God.
Yeah, not a Norton.
Okay.
But just Mary Elizabeth.
So Mary Elizabeth Grill
that's right.
got me hooked on Mary Elizabeth Norton.
Mm-hmm.
And
very short
that's
haircut,
something
very
that she
thick glasses.
Yeah. She has a way of speaking too that is
she's like amazing.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Sounds like she's just talking around a tangerine. The way she talks is like very, very single. It's just like very, very single. Very much under a blanket. In a big robe. Okay. Mary Beth Norton, thank you for your efforts.
So Mary Beth talks about this a lot where the only thing that they actually did was this fortune telling technique called Venus glass, which was they would drop egg whites into a glass of water and interpret whatever shapes and symbols appeared as an attempt to learn their future.
What
and apparently
shame.
Some of the girls had dabbled in this.
With the egg shapes? Okay.
Yeah. Betty and Abigail. Oh, I'm sorry. The what they had seen was just the shape of a coffin in a glass.
I mean the boredom that was. I mean, it's just like the disease here is just like people that had nothing to do.
But that's the thing. They were actually pretty busy.
I guess they were. They were trying to stay alive.
They were young Puritan girls.
Yeah, that's true.
Who
farming
had a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the other, after Betty and Abigail, the next accuser or person who starts feeling symptoms.
And they were like, we feel symptoms. And then they pointed the finger at other people.
At the trial they did. But beforehand.
Okay.
They were just feeling these symptoms. Something's stirring up in Salem.
Right.
So there's Ann Putnam Jr., who is an important figure in this whole situation.
Okay.
And because she comes from a very prominent family in town,
okay.
The Putnams.
Yes.
Then there's Mary Walcott and Mercy Lewis, who was the Ann Putnam's maid or she wasn't a slave, but she was like a worker.
There were and she had two sisters.
Mercy Lewis?
Yeah.
Unclear. Maybe our fact checker Chris can look us up.
I thought it was Mercy, Margaret, and Martha.
Well, who knows where they are? I don't think they were some of the accusers, though. I think Mercy was the only one who accused.
Okay.
Then we got Elizabeth Hubbard, Susan Sheldon. I'm loving these names. Mary Warren, Elizabeth Booth. They all start having the symptoms.
Everybody's Mary or Elizabeth. It's safe to assume.
Or
maybe
Sarah.
That's why you associate Mary Grill with Abigail Williams.
Maybe.
Oh.
It's just a beast.
I'm also a great actress of our generation.
One of the greatest.
Who also looks like
of
a
our generation.
Trapped in a near 40-year-old body.
You guys, you have to check Mary Grill out.
Oh, really?
Look her up online.
Go to the dark web and check out some body shots.
Find a reel on YouTube. She doesn't have adult female hips, but she is a very good actress. Just like a teen.
We all have something that we have to keep working for and striving for, Mary. You'll get those hips, girl.
Try just like a lady shape, a woman shape.
Someday. So that was, let's talk about some of the accused.
Okay, yeah.
This is just kind of giving everyone out there a whole, you know, picture of the characters involved.
Right.
You know? So we've got Sarah Good.
Okay.
And she's the first, if you guys recall, she's one of the first people to be accused by Betty and Abigail. Chris, you look like you want to say something?
Well, no, I was just circling back to Mercy Lewis. She did have a sister. It was her sister with whom she moved into and was living with in Salem because... before that, an attack by the Native Americans killed her grandparents, aunts, uncles, and most of her cousins.
Yeah.
So she was placed in as a servant in the household of Reverend Burroughs, and she had moved to Salem in 1691.
Okay, and Burroughs is a very important figure, which we'll talk about.
Okay.
We're going to talk about him in
Mary
just
Beth
a bit.
Has a lot of feelings about that guy.
You
Mary
mean
Beth Norton.
Mary Beth Norton, yeah.
Not the Mary Beth girl.
This is going to get confusing. I should have asked a Jessica for today's episode. Or Tiffany. That would have been good.
You can call me Tiffany.
Okay. So Sarah Good, she's a lower economic status. So let's get a picture of who's being blamed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is a common theme. It's they're kind of the outsiders of the village.
Right.
So Sarah Good,
who
she's
are
lower
accused.
Status.
Right.
Yeah. Poor. She had a lot of debt due to her first husband. And the accusers at the trial
What happened with her first husband?
He had a lot of debt when he died. Yeah.
Oh, God,
and then he got another she had another husband, and I'm pretty sure Sarah Good was the one that was pregnant and lost the baby. Oh, man. Now, yes, I think she's the one who lost the baby while she was in jail. Maybe fact checker Chris can look that up.
Yeah, she was pregnant when she got accused. Your life is hard enough. Don't call me a witch.
Now, she is accused. She's cited of jealousy and envy as explanations for witches' discontent with anger, is what I read.
Oh.
And her dependency on the neighbors and others perpetuated suspicions.
Oh my gosh, this is just a lady who just like needed a break so bad.
I know. Isn't that so sad?
It's so sad.
Yeah. She was just poor.
Like she was literally poor,
kids.
Alone, scared to death.
So she never confessed to being a witch, and she was eventually hung. She was found guilty, obviously.
Oh my God.
Then there's Sarah Osborne. And Sarah Osborne was... she was actually, she had owned property, or she had problems with property. She went against social norms, and many knew of, okay, she had a husband who passed away, and then she took his property instead of giving it to her eldest son. So
that was messed up because she was a woman and he was a guy?
Yes, because she wanted to own her own property. Yes,
classic
Chris?
Sexism.
So I think the Sarah Good... baby confusion might be that she was accused of being a witch, or she was suspected because her husband said that she might be a witch due to her bad carriage to him, meaning I think she maybe lost a child. And so,
oh God, another thing.
Women
another
were accused. Lady. Yes, because they couldn't carry
so
a pregnancy
sad.
To term.
Well, then maybe it was Sarah Osborne then who was pregnant when she was sent to jail. So there was a lot of gossip about her in town because people said that she was fornicating with Alexander.
Sex. Okay.
Who was an Irish servant.
Wait, who are we talking
servant.
About now? Sarah Good?
This is Sarah Osborne.
Osborne, got it.
And she had a servant who eventually, she married, essentially.
Okay.
So after her
scandal?
First husband died.
Question mark?
Yeah, it was kind of scandalous.
Okay.
But also, mind your own business, town, you know? But
oh my
again,
God.
Puritans and anyway,
it
she
was like
had
the
a feud
least
with the Putnams.
Mind your own business town imaginable.
600 people, and it was like they were all living in one house.
And they're all scared to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she had a problem with the Putnams because she was suing them. The Putnam family accused Osborne of trying to take away their economic independence.
Okay.
Because she was suing them in order to get that property.
Oh, man. It's interesting to know that suing existed.
Another main player was Tituba, as we all know.
Native American.
She was Native American, not she is popularly portrayed as an African slave.
Right.
But
right,
in fact, she was Native American.
Right.
From the West Indies. And that was sort of
discovered more contemporarily, correct?
That was, yes. Because she came from Barbados or the West Indies, and she probably came with the Paris himself.
Oh, okay.
She lives with Paris.
Okay.
And I guess at the time, the slaves slept with the children. So she probably had a very close connection
with the kids. She was like the mom or the nanny or something. Yeah. Okay.
And Paris's wife had died. He was a widow.
Okay.
So she had a connection, and she's accused of
being... And is she like an adult?
One. She's an adult.
Yeah, okay.
I believe she's in her late 20s.
Okay, okay.
At the time.
Okay.
And they theorize that Tituba told the girls tales of voodoo and witchcraft prior to the accusations. She was also the first to confess to the witchcraft in the village in March of 1692. So she's the first one.
So she was like, yes, I'm a witch?
Probably because she was...
They were like forced confessions,
they beat her.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
I'm pretty sure they beat her not to death, obviously, but to confession.
Yeah, right. And then they went ahead and killed her?
No, she actually survived.
She did? Good.
Yes.
I mean, give this people a break. She's obviously got stolen from wherever she was from.
She's a slave.
She is a slave. There's a word for it. It's slave. Oh, God. That's way... It's just cut to it. Oh, God.
But she does survive because she confesses. And one of the big things is that
repentance?
Who confessed... didn't
were
get
spared
killed.
Oh yeah, because wasn't Cotton Mather don't make me look like an asshole kind of, and he was confess so that there's legitimacy to this witch hunt that I'm literally on
hunt on. Yeah. Yes, the way he would run his or the way the courtroom was run was such that if you confessed, then you were sent to jail. And if you didn't and you were found guilty, then you were executed. Cool. And so the people who confessed didn't really make it to... By the time it was, their turn, they kind of waited it out.
Yeah.
And then the trials ended and everyone was pardoned and they survived.
Right.
So that was just the irony of this particular disaster, which is so sad.
Yeah.
Now, I know we haven't started putting people up on the board, but just a quick rundown of some of the other important people. Mm-hmm. We've got Rebecca Nurse, and she's the older woman, if you remember from the movies or the play.
Uh-huh.
She's the good one. She's the one who's always going to church, and everyone's can't be her. She was a grandmother, had so many grandchildren.
Okay. Super good sign of being a good person.
We're just going to take them for their word. That's we're going to say Rebecca Nurse, great girl.
Salem's
great
grandmother.
Girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, Elizabeth and John Proctor.
Okay.
Who we all know from The Crucible.
That's right.
Fun fact, it is very unlikely that Abigail and John Proctor had any kind of relationship, and it's unlikely that they even knew each other.
Oh,
before
really?
The trial.
Yeah, because she was a baby child.
She was 11 or 12, and he was 60.
Right. Unhot.
Unhot. We don't know. There are no photos of John, but Daniel Day-Lewis does do a wonderful John Proctor in the movie.
I haven't seen the movie either.
Well, I've got a lot of beef with the movie.
Okay.
Not because it's a bad movie. I guess my beef is more with Arthur Miller.
Okay. because he took liberties?
One of the greatest playwrights of our time. Not so much because he took liberties, because I read some articles that he really believed that Abigail Williams and John Proctor had some kind of relationship. He must have, you know, read some kind of, I don't know, history book that said that. And so he deduced that that's what was happening.
Okay.
So, and it's like, fine, it's historical fiction.
Like, but he like maybe pushed forward this narrative that was totally of his own.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Okay. My beef with Arthur Miller is that he took this female, like historic, like women don't have a lot of history because history was written by men, right? And women also didn't have like, weren't allowed to play this like larger role in society.
Yeah.
And here's an opportunity to make a play about a group of women who had an impact in history, and he makes it. He makes a leaked character, John Proctor. He makes it about a guy.
You're right. It's clearly like about all of these persecuted women.
And I know that the Crucible is like about the communism and, you know, the Red Scare.
McCarthyism. Yeah.
But still, it's like,
still,
why couldn't it have been Abigail's story?
Well, men just tell stories better, don't you think?
They're just characters we can get behind.
It's easier for us women to understand.
On that note, I think I'll be taking over the podcast from here, ladies.
Go on, Chris.
Now, if everybody could keep it down.
I don't have any ideas, Chris. Help.
I'll tell you the story of the Salem witch tiles. Wait a second. I guess women are better than men.
Wow, Chris. So, lastly,
yeah.
Before we, you know,
I'm with you.
Digress. But come on, Arthur Miller. I've got a major beef.
Get out of theater.
Whatever. It was 1953 when he wrote this play.
I mean, the 50s were like bad. That's a different podcast.
Yeah. I think that's your new podcast.
Historical tragedy, the 1950s. I
mean, we could do a whole season on the 1950s. Yeah. But this last character I want to talk about, person, George Burroughs.
Oh, right. He's big.
He's big. So he was the second minister. So there's a lot of backstory with these ministers in town. There's Salem Village, and then there's Salem, the town.
Okay.
The Salem town has the big church, right? Okay. And everyone from Salem Village goes to Salem Town to go to church, but it's like something like 10 miles round trip.
Oh, God.
So the people of Salem Village were like, we want our own church. And they fought and fought, and eventually they get their own church. But they're already like divided within Salem Village. They get this, you know, first reverend who, whatever, it doesn't work out with the first guy. And then Burroughs is the second one.
Okay.
And he was only the minister from 1681 to 1683.
Okay.
And he's got a particularly contentious history with the Putnams, who we know.
Right, the Richies.
So this is all kind of...
The Richies' prominence.
Exactly. Okay. It's important that we understand like how connected everyone
Everybody is. Who was accusing and accused was. So, it's so obvious. It's like, yeah.
Come on. So the Putnams apparently loaned him some money.
Okay.
And they threatened to arrest him for debt.
Wait.
When he
the
couldn't
Putnams,
reimburse.
Oh,
Burroughs.
Okay.
And then he leaves. He like leaves town.
Oh.
I'm not sure why he's back. Why would you come back to Salem?
He's got to get witches.
George Burroughs?
Doesn't he get... Oh, he gets accused.
No, he gets accused, and he's one of the people who end up being executed. Okay, so now you know all the characters, and let's start pointing fingers after this quick break. Let's start pointing fingers, and I want to talk about Puritanism.
Okay.
Now, the Puritans, they leave England. Their whole idea is that they need a new, a pure church.
Uh-huh.
And they want to build this perfect church out in the new world. They believe in predestination, meaning some will go to heaven and most will go to hell.
And that's determined like before. That's like part. That's just what. There's nothing you can do to change that, right?
The only way to find out is to study the Bible and be part of a pure church and look for signs within yourself to know you are the chosen one. So yeah, it sounds like it's predetermined.
That would be
bad. You just don't know.
Yeah,
you're
right,
trying to figure out.
You're just like read it one day and you're like, shoot, I'm one of the hells.
Well, this is what I read. Okay, so when this is about the Puritan girl. Okay. When she's not tending livestock, the garden, or a fire, when she's not baking or candle making, a Puritan girl was meant to be knitting, spooling, or weaving. The Puritan girls didn't have much say in their world.
Okay.
And they were expected to only speak when they were spoken to.
Great.
To be submissive, to ask blessing from adults around them. No music, no dancing.
What about the boys? Oh, no music, no dancing? Is that what you said?
No, no music, no dancing.
So wait, do the boys get to do like things?
Well,
that's like
they go out in the world.
That's shush up and do your chores.
So imagine what it must have felt like for these girls to all of a sudden be like, woof, woof, I can't pray, I can't do my spooling or my knitting. So I just want to start us off nice and easy, mm-hmm. and let's put Puritanism up on the board. What do you think?
As like the main problem?
Well, as one of the causes.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, so.
For sure. I mean, basically, it just like made everybody hysterical. It put everybody in these boxes and made everybody question everybody and everything.
Yeah.
Super inhumane.
I think it was just like
structure.
A very oppressive.
It was super oppressive. That's a blanket word to talk about it. That's right. Oppressive.
I mean, I want to put I have a whole section about this, but I think the weather is to blame. We can put the weather up there.
We could put weather on the board.
And I'll tell you why. Okay.
Oh, now, yeah.
The weather was a big deal.
Okay. I have like a tangential comment about the weather.
Well, start us off because I'm looking up for my notes. Yeah, tell me.
Did you read about ergot? I think that's how it's pronounced.
Yes.
That is fascinating.
Do you want to tell our listeners what ergot is?
I think it's ergot.
I'll get it for you. It's ergot poisoning.
ergot, but I think it's pronounced ergot.
Great.
So it is.
You're better at that than I am, that's for sure.
I'm not sure. I could be wrong. It is a mold that grew on rye. And basically, across the globe, where history tells us there were witch hunts, it is there. This mold existed, and people were eating rye bread. And what happens is you consume the mold, and then you have these sort of spasms, fits that were completely the same as the symptoms that people talked about.
Yeah, hallucinations,
delusions,
and vomiting.
That's right. And also, like,
I don't know if that was something that the witches did, but vomiting was definitely an ergot poisoning.
But didn't they also, they talk about something called, like, the black dance or something that people would, like, move in this really freaky way, probably because they were tripping.
Oh, yeah.
But that would cause them to, like, dance and be, like, unresponsive. It's, like, super freaky as an image to think about, but it's like, oh, but back to the weather, this ergot, if I'm saying it right, happened when they were cold winters followed by wet springs. And this weather was consistent with these periods of history where witch hunts happened, not only in America, in Europe and everywhere else.
Yes.
So it begs the question.
Are you saying you want to put ergot?
I think so.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Much as you want.
Yeah. Could have happened.
We have a safe and effective way of figuring out who's to blame here. And we start by throwing everything up on the board.
Okay. Cool.
And do you want a weather and ergot to be combined?
I think we could put
separate?
The weather as a different one. Now, I was reading that there were the time of the trials coincided with what climatologists called the Little Ice Age.
Oh.
Although in my readings, the Little Ice Age was from 1550 to 1800. So That's a what long
was,
ice
like,
age.
Super cold or what?
I think it was just colder than usual. What's interesting about this theory is that it's also true that crime rates increased in the summer. So hotter temperatures still make true. People less patient, more irrational, and violence peaks in the summer. Although extreme cold makes people violent. This is what I'm reading.
God, how simple are we?
Yeah,
it's like, cold. I'm going to kill.
It's hot. I'm going to kill.
Yeah.
I think it's like extreme temperatures
right.
make people go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe let's put climate in the cold change. Weather, the little ice age.
Okay.
So cool. Now we have Puritanism and then three weather related.
Wait, what are the weather related? So
there's weather and then there's ergot.
Ergot. Okay.
So do you want to
I think
add
it's ergot.
Ergot.
Right?
How do you spell it?
ergot.
Okay, yeah. And then do you want me to add little ice age?
No, that'll we'll
it's under weather.
Yeah,
it sounds
that's
like
under
a Pixar
weather.
Movie.
The little yeah, it ice does. Age.
I'll watch it. Starring a chili mushroom.
So the next thing we can talk about is this like these family dramas, which we kind of talked about it already a little bit. The village versus the town.
Okay.
And there's the Putnams are the richest people in Salem Village.
Okay. I didn't know they were the richest ones.
Yes.
Where'd they get all their money? They brought it over?
They were, the Putnams were farmers and the Porters were, which is the other family in Salem Town, which was the richest.
Okay.
The Porters were, I believe, something to do with trading because okay. they were closer to the port. Salem Village is further west.
They're called the Porters, and they're close to the port. Oh, God. It's so obvious.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay. I think let's talk next about the King Charles and the New Frontier.
Oh.
So let's talk about the family feud. The family feud, I think, contributes to the anxiety because if I recall, the list of people who were accused, one of the Porters is accused by, as you remember, Anne Putnam Jr.
Oh,
was one of
riches
the accusers.
Against riches.
Exactly.
Double rich war.
It's a Richie's war.
A Richie's war.
So.
Interesting, and most of the people who were accused were poor outsiders.
Poor outsiders.
Not this one.
Well, that was the big thing, was that later on, as the accusers start accusing wealthier and more prominent figures.
Is that when it stopped?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Classic.
Not her.
Yeah. She couldn't be. She's rich.
She's got such a nice car.
Okay, witches aren't real, anybody. They can all go home now.
But like, seriously, I think it was, I have it somewhere in my notes. So I believe it was Phipps, his wife, that was accused. Now, Phipps is an interesting character. Now, Phipps, it's 1691.
Uh-huh.
And William Phipps has a relationship with the Mather family.
Okay.
Cotton Mather. Now, for those of you who don't know, Cotton Mather, he is an influential in the construction of the court for the trials.
Yeah, he's a top jerk.
Yeah. My Cotton God, Mather. Let's put him up on the board. And let's go through this judicial system because I think there's a bunch of guys that we can put up on this board as a group, right? The trials. We've got John Hawthorne. He's the judge, right?
Okay.
He's the magistrate, and he's chosen by the governor, William Phipps, to be the judge in the trials.
Oh, interesting.
And during the trials, Hawthorne takes on the role of prosecutor rather than impartial judge.
Oh, why?
Because that's...
He wants to get those witches.
Yeah, his questioning just begins with the presumption of guilt rather than innocence.
Right, and when there's like 400 people in the entire nation at this point, like people are like, I'm now going to be the lawyer prosecutor.
He's like, I'm the most qualified. Although Harvard was already up and running. So,
really?
Yeah, because a lot of these people went to Harvard. I don't think Harvard had the prestige it did.
No, it did. It's always been the same.
Should we blame Harvard?
I'd love to blame Harvard.
Yeah. It'll make me feel better.
He's
about
the one who educated all these
not
people.
Gone to Harvard.
I'm talking about Harvard like he's a guy. Mr. Harvard. So Hawthorne just kind of starts being this prosecutor kind of figure. And he's the one who starts encouraging those under examination not only to confess to witchcraft, but also to name others who might be witches.
And why would anybody do that?
To accelerate the process.
But why would you want to accelerate? Oh, he wants to accelerate the process.
Yeah, why would somebody name the witches?
Why would somebody be like, okay,
they would get
a
lighter sentence?
Probably.
That's right.
And then they would be
they can repent, right? Isn't it
yes,
like you have the opportunity?
They made me do it. And now I want to go back to God. And that's kind of was... Tituba kind of laid out that style.
Option?
Yeah. She was the first one to be like, you're right, I did it. You know, I want to come back to God and help me. And it was just kind of a way of getting out of it.
Right.
That said, Tituba... What, you know, the stakes were really high for her.
Death.
Like she could
Death
have been
high.
Killed.
Yep.
So
do you want to do, just to recap there, you listed three guys, Cotton Mather, John Hawthorne, who's the judge and the prosecutor, or Phipps, who's the governor and who appointed Hawthorne.
Yeah, let's put those three guys up because I'll tell you what Mather, how he comes into play. He appoints William Stoughton as head of special witchcraft. He's the head of the special witchcraft tribunal. Tribunal. I'm so sorry.
No, I just have a good accent. Tribunal.
Tribunal. and he is also the chief justice of the colonial courts.
Okay.
And according to George Bancroft, another guy, Mather had been influential in gaining the politically unpopular Stoughton, his appointment as the lieutenant governor under Phipps. because of Mather's powerful father, whose name was Increase.
Increase,
as if Cotton Mather wasn't a weird enough name. His dad, Increase Mather.
I mean, all I can picture is like a ruffled neckline, white hair, black clothing,
I think they look,
loafers.
I'm looking at
we know what they look like.
Yeah.
Buckle shoes.
Buckle shoes. Hat, they look like the pilgrims.
They do. I'm describing a pilgrim.
All right. So do you want to just call them the Buckle Boys?
The Buckle Boys.
And we'll just throw them all into one pile. That way we can just say.
Yes.
The system of judges that we're looking to prosecute these witch
and
trials.
If we can all just remember that Phipps was the guy who, once his wife got accused,
he
pulled the plug.
That's right.
So,
convenient.
Yeah. I don't trust these Buckle Boys at all. Another person I don't trust.
There was a quote that Cotton Mather that I read of his having tortured, because there were people who were executed, but then there were a couple hundred people who were tortured.
Yeah.
For,
well,
being
Giles Corey.
Right.
With the stones.
Yeah. But he died. He got pressed to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, but people who survived. Oh. And Cotton Mather was, there was a girl, a young girl, she was a girl whose entire family was killed by Native Americans. So she was, you know, behind the eight ball already. Uh-huh. She was having a hard life. And I want to say
Mercy Lewis, are you talking?
Yeah, I think it was her.
Yeah.
And Cotton Mather put a hot poker down her throat.
Nuh-uh. Wait. Maybe we're not talking about the same girl. The
different girl? Maybe.
Yeah, I think we're talking about... Mercy Lewis was one of the accusers.
Okay, well, there was... Let me see.
She's the one who lived at the Putnam house. And she's the the servant girl for the Putnam family.
Right. Let me see if I can find...
While you're looking that up, I just want to talk about someone I really don't trust.
Okay.
Which is Reverend Samuel Parris.
Don't trust him.
He's...
I don't trust him.
He's got a...
You can't have a country for a last name.
He's got a complicated situation. Because at the time, he's the minister. And of course, his daughter and niece are the first people to be inflicted... afflicted.
Uh-huh.
Afflicted? Yeah, with the witch disease.
Okay.
He feels like the community is against him at the time that this starts happening. He feels like they don't respect him. He had demanded when he started the process of being hired as mm-hmm. the minister, mm-hmm. he demanded some unheard of things. This is the quote. Unheard of things such as a clear and permanent title to the parsonage and a salary of £66 with £22 paid in provisions. And the congregation then allowed him to live in this house, the parsonage house. But he insisted that he get complimentary firewood in the winter. So he was asking...
He was a greedy bitch.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But in all fairness, like the Putnams hadn't paid him for his job.
I'm kind of like, you know what? Everybody's struggling. Just go with it.
Everyone is struggling. And he's just an unpopular figure at the time.
Okay.
So when this starts happening to his girls, it's almost like he's got to jump all in and push it forward. Do you know what I mean?
Push it forward?
Like the narrative.
Okay.
He can't go back at this point.
Got it.
So he's part of like creating this hysteria because if you remember with the Mary Beth lecture.
Mm-hmm. Mary Beth Norton.
The Mary Beth Norton lecture, she says that a lot of these accusations took place on Mondays.
Which was interesting, right?
Which meant that they had all gone to church on Sunday. And he was the minister. He was the reverend.
They were
listening to his sermons. Mm-hmm. And then next day, bam, these girls start accusing.
Yes.
So that's really
all
sketchy.
All of the accusations. Mondays.
Let's put Reverend simple. Samuel Parris.
Should we put Monday on the board? Just kidding.
So
Mondays did it.
A bad case of the Mondays?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you put Mondays up?
What if that's why... Yeah. That phrase, maybe, I don't know why that phrase exists.
Manic Mondays. So you want to put Paris, he's separate from the Buckle Boys.
Yes, separate from the Buckle Boys.
The Buckle Boys are increasing Cotton Mather because they wear buckles everywhere. We're assuming. But I think it's a safe assumption.
Okay. Now, there are two things that I want to touch before we start blaming.
Okay.
And one of them is, they're kind of both connected. And it's the New World, the Frontier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, again, we know this is a dangerous time. We've been talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a heightened sense of fear for the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these villagers are living in fear of the actual wild. There's the natives mm-hmm. that are, there's an actual war happening at the time.
Right. So, it's like an...
It's called the King William's War, or also known as the Second Indian War.
That's right. Okay.
And here's a little backstory
on that.
Which
was a war I had never heard of.
Never heard of.
I was like, what war?
Why aren't we talking about this war when it comes to the witch trial?
Right. So, I was just thinking, I wonder like how small it was. It must have been... Maybe it was... Anyway, war? Talk about it.
Okay. It's 1688.
Okay.
And that's when the war starts.
Okay.
And it's the first of six colonial wars fought between New France and New England, along with their respective native allies. And it happens before... it ends with France ceding its remaining mainland territories in North America, right? But it takes a long time. That doesn't happen until 1763. So this is the beginning of six wars. And the war is largely caused by the fact that the treaties and the agreements that were reached at the end of King Philip's war were not adhered to. Mm-hmm. So there's a previous war, the treaties are not adhered to, so they start this new war. In addition, mm-hmm. the English were alarmed that the Indians were receiving French or maybe Dutch aid. The Indians preyed on the English and their fears by making it look as though they were with the French. And the French were played as well, as they thought that the Indians were working with the English.
Oh.
These occurrences, in addition to the fact that the English perceived the Indians as their subjects, despite the Indians' willingness to submit, eventually led to two conflicts. One of which was King William's War. So there's this war happening at the exact same time that the trials are happening. And Essex County is only 50 miles from where the war is actually taking place.
And Essex County is where the witch trials were happening.
Yes.
So they're in the war. So they're very close to all the trauma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what Mary Beth, the scholar, Mary uh-huh. Beth Norton, talks about in her wonderful lecture that I highly recommend on Vimeo, is mm-hmm. where we found it.
if you have 57 spare minutes to watch a witch expert.
It's wonderful.
I mean, she's
so smart.
When she was like, I ran out of the ocean and hardly wiped off because I had an idea for my witch book. I was like, you live an interestingly singular life. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So what she talks about is that the accusers mm-hmm. all had a link to losing family members and to living through tragic moments in their life because of the first or second Indian War.
Right.
So at this time, the natives, or the, you know, are they call them the Indians. In all of these
texts.
I know it's not politically correct to say that anymore. But the Indians were winning the war at the time, and some of the accusers said that they saw leaders of the Indians plotting with the witches. So this is part of the accusation.
So it was kind of like tied up in racism against Native Americans. Well, not kind of, it was, right?
Well,
and really,
and because they truly believed that the English believe that they deserved that land. I mean, the natives were there before the English.
Right.
And they're just taking the land from
them. And Native Americans were other in every sense.
Of course.
Including religion, which was like the crux of...
Of Puritanism.
Of their daily life.
I mean, we can put racism up on the board. Well, that's the cause of the war.
Mm-hmm.
The people who were running the trials were the military leaders who were also fighting the war.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you said it. There's like 600 people, you know, not a lot of people. So they're doing double duty.
Right.
They're the magistrates and also like being the leaders of this war.
Right, right.
So the Puritans thought that they were the chosen people and therefore the Indians were aligned with the devil. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Why? If they couldn't beat the devil in the battleground, then they could try to beat the devil in the courtroom.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it kind of answers the question of why they wanted to believe the girls.
Right, because
who were doing the accusing.
They were losing the war, but their explanation for losing the war was the devil, which is, right?
Well, yeah, they were like, well, if we can't win in the battlefield, we'll win in court, essentially, because they're the devil,
right?
And if these witches are aligned with the natives that are fighting back, then maybe that's a way of winning.
So how would you classify that? I'm just trying to write something on the board.
I think I would perhaps blame the
soldiers? The Second Indian War. That's
and
very convincing.
And the trauma.
Yes.
Maybe like you said in the beginning, the
PTSD.
Because if all of these accusers, the girls, because either, for instance, Abigail, her family was murdered.
And they like saw it.
They saw it. Yeah. There's Mercy Lewis. Her family is also murdered.
Yep.
And then they're living with these other younger girls, the Putnam, little Ann Putnam and little Betty Paris. They're telling, you know, stories of war. Who knows what they're talking about? Right. They're all sleeping in the same bed.
Oh, that's right. Because Mercy went in like, was basically sharing a bed with Abigail, right?
Mercy was with Ann Putnam. Junior.
Oh, and Mercy was accused of like telling devil stories, but in history sort of is telling us that she was telling what horrible stories of what happened to her family.
Yeah, to Anne, like war stories.
Yeah, like war stories.
So do we PTSD want maybe?
The fog of war? The fog of war?
Yes.
War fog. It's my improv group. It's my new improv team. War fog.
So I feel like, you know, we have a lot.
List?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
So far we have Puritanism, weather, ergot, the Buckle Boys.
Cotton and Increase Mather.
Cotton and Increase, John Hawthorne, and Phipps. Mm-hmm. Harvard University. Reverend Samuel Parris.
Ooh, boo.
Mm-hmm.
Manic Mondays.
Monday.
And
just the day.
War fog.
Yeah. I mean, should we throw gossip in there?
Sure. It's a silent killer.
Because, I mean...
Or not silent. It's the unsilent
killer. It's the chatty killer.
It's the chatty killer.
It's what was...
The talkative killer.
Like, these girls were like, okay, so we gotta accuse people. Let's start. Who's in the bad in the gossip world?
Yeah, I mean, it's like think of how everybody was just freaking out. It's actually sad to think about. Like people died because everybody was scared to death.
Yeah, mass hysteria.
Yeah,
there's nothing scarier than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always think of this is not the case for the witches, but like trampling, like in a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mass hysteria.
Yeah.
Like just freaking out. People freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Never go to a concert.
Don't go to a concert or a sports event.
That's right. Have no fun. Stay home.
So let's, I think let's start blaming. Let's start off by crossing people off the list.
Okay. So how does this work? We read the whole list and, well, we read it.
Yeah.
And now
And now I
do think, I have to know my vote right now?
No.
Okay.
I think we do the process of elimination.
Okay. Okay.
It's tried and true. It's never let us down. So off the bat, I think perhaps, I mean, I don't think we can cross weather off just yet.
No.
But ergot, perhaps? Now, Chris, you looked like you were...
you had a little pushback.
You had something to say about ergot. Ergot?
Well,
We're never going to find out.
So Linda R. Caporel posited in 1976 that the hysterical symptoms of young women that had spurred the Salem witch trials had been the result of consuming ergot-tainted rye. However, Nicholas Spanos and Jack Gottlieb, two bros, after review of the historical and medical evidence, disputed her conclusions.
Because she's a woman? Does it say that?
No. It does not say that, but it does say other authors have likewise cast doubt on it as the cause. So it's a theory.
It's a theory. I don't think we have enough evidence to back it up.
Okay.
So I think it's going off the list.
Okay.
Now, how do you feel about Harvard and gossip? Again, we're figuring out who's to blame for the Salem witch trials.
Right. Harvard's such a nice school. I think we should just leave it alone.
Well, they were. I don't think we can blame Harvard because they're a little detached.
Yeah, they're detached.
They educated the people who were the judges and all that. But, you know,
Harvard isn't a way of life. Like Puritanism.
Wow. Exactly.
You know?
Very profound, Mary.
Well,
she's coming out
for
with
having
a
not
book
having
later.
Gone to Harvard. I'm very sharp.
So we still have Puritanism. What do you feel about gossip?
I mean, gossip to me feels like a symptom of like the larger problem,
which is
Puritanism. Weather, mm-hmm. PTSD, war.
Okay, so
I mean, all those things make people talk.
That's a people number one thing people talk about is the weather.
That's right.
True, is it?
Of course.
True fact. Yeah. Tell me anything.
What Come on.
I'm the fact guy, so it has to be true.
So I'm going to take gossip off the board.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about gossip?
I'm with you.
Okay.
I think it's a serious thing.
Yeah.
Not to be played with, but...
Yeah.
Put it this way. Take out all the other factors. If you just had a bunch of people gossiping a lot, do you think people would have been hanged for witch trials?
Yes. I think at that time, yes, probably. Oh. That Puritanism. Yeah. Right? I mean...
No, I was just saying...
Oh.
Take out all the other items on the...
Oh, yeah, no. I think it's harmless.
It's gossip in and of itself.
I love gossip.
Yeah. Okay. So gossip's out.
Yeah, I think it's out.
Now we still have Puritanism, weather, the Buckle Boys, Reverend Samuel Parris, Manic Mondays, PTSD, war fog, the fog of war.
Mm-hmm.
I think next we can take off Manic Mondays. I think they've been on the board for long enough.
Yeah, similar to gossip, I feel like it's like an offshoot of the larger issue.
Yeah.
That's just which like is, when the bad stuff happened.
Which points back to Puritanism, if you think about it, because Sundays are a big day for Puritans.
That's right. I mean, Puritanism is high on the list of like, that was a problem.
I'm ready to take weather off. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, tell me why. I think you're
right. I just don't buy it. I mean, the people have been cold. Other people were cold that were living there at the same time.
Right.
And they weren't, you know, pointing fingers at witches. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think we can take that out.
Yeah.
The Buckle Boys, they're
feel like they did it. They were like guilty, but they're not the only ones.
And also the Buckle Boys like really pushed the trial situation.
Singularly. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think they have to stay on. Puritanism is huge. Samuel Parris, come on, what are you doing, bro?
Like,
stop putting fear in these people.
Mm-hmm.
But the fog of war.
I mean, it's like war or Puritanism? Puritanism.
I'm with you. I think the Buckle Boys didn't do a good job. Didn't.
They were bad bads. They were double bads, but like but there were a bunch of bad people. But what was behind the bad behavior, I feel, was this religion and this war.
Yeah. if there hadn't been a war that had like really traumatized these girls. Out.
But also Puritans.
But also the new frontier. If there wasn't a new frontier, then there wouldn't have been this war.
Like, okay, imagine they weren't Puritans, but the war had happened. Would this witch thing still have happened?
That's a really good question.
Because I want to say probably not.
Well, the devil is sort of baked into Puritanism, isn't
it? That's what right. I think.
Because yeah. that's there has
Sin,
to be good and evil.
Purity. Mm-hmm.
So
it's the combination of right. this frontier war confusion and their values, value mm-hmm. system, and creating this devil
yeah. character. Yeah.
It was like a horrible storm.
So the Buckle Boys are we're letting them off the hook. And we're saying that they're a product of Puritanism.
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
God, that's so hard. But I just
think there were other bad actors in addition to
yeah.
the Buckle Brothers.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then Samuel Parris is up high on the list because
but I mean,
he's
I
the
loop
leader.
Him in with like bad actors, but the puppeteer.
Yeah.
Is Puritanism, I think, because that's the common threat against all these things, including the children who were,
well then
pointing the finger, including the people who were like admitting they were witches because they didn't want to be killed and they were like, I'll return to God, I'm going to be a good person. It's all.
But here's the thing: Samuel Parris is the messenger; he's the reverend. He, yeah. and not just that, but
he's the one who's feeding connected, them the Puritanism.
And he's connected to the start of the scandal.
Right.
And he probably had the power in that community to just say, everyone chill. Like, we're not going to kill people because we think they're witches.
Right.
These are children. I know one of them is my daughter, you know.
Right.
Let's not listen or jump to conclusions just because these kids are pointing fingers. So he had power at that moment. And he used it for bad.
Shoot.
I don't know. I mean, I'm taking out the fog of war because I think it's a key player.
Totally key player.
And I don't think if there was a war
mm-hmm.
and the people involved weren't Puritans, perhaps it wouldn't have gone to the witch trial situation.
Right.
So
that removes the fog of war.
Exactly. And it's out.
Yeah, the religious aspect of it really makes it.
And I'm just itching to put Samuel Parris in that prison.
Put him in jail.
And he never, here's the thing, he never apologized.
He's a gross.
He's a gross.
God, at least you're sorry.
He never apologized.
Didn't he just say, like, we're done with this? No, we don't do this. Sorry. Well, they pardoned all the people.
Yeah, they did eventually. So, I don't know, my mind is settled. I think we have, and do you agree with me?
I don't know.
Samuel Parris, I think we got to send him. To jail.
Yeah, he goes to jail. But like, wait, Ken Duke. But you're saying he's the one.
He's
the main.
He's the thing we're blaming.
Mary really wanted to be Puritan.
I don't know. I still am like Puritanism.
Can we do a side or a under the veil of?
Yeah. How about this?
Under the veil. Well,
our Puritan reverend.
Okay.
Samuel Parris.
Oh, he's representing Puritanism.
Yes.
Okay. So it's like he's cloaked in Puritanism because
yes.
he probably also did wear a cloak.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. I mean.
Okay.
He was the great orchestrator. The great,
I'm
not
with you.
Great orchestrator.
It's settled.
Well, you can also put Parris in jail and you can give Puritanism community service.
I think that's good.
Let's do that.
Okay. So, our Puritan Reverend Samuel Parris is going to the alarmist jail. Puritanism, report to community service, please. Well, thank you so much, Mary, for joining us.
Thank you.
And is there anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, don't worry so much about going to church, guys.
Great. Very, very good use of plugging time.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Thanks. It's settled. Feel good. After the witch trials ended, several members of Reverend Samuel Parris's congregation fought for years to have Parris dismissed from the church due to his role in the Salem witch trials. His dissenters submitted a list of problems they had with Parris, which included a number of issues that were directly related to Williams and the afflicted girls. In 1697, Parris's dissenters won, and Parris was dismissed from his job as minister of the church. He left Salem Village shortly after, taking Betty Parris and, most likely, Abigail Williams with him. Although it's possible that she died in 1697 at the age of 17. Neither Abigail Williams or Betty Parris ever apologized for their roles in the Salem witch trials. Vote for who you think is to blame at thealarmistpodcast.com. And if you have any thoughts, comments, hesitations, we're thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Join us next week as we discuss the Arizona gender reveal party disaster. It's explosive.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.